Good afternoon. CLTV's afternoon edition with Maureen Wanzi Wilai. In our top stories, the head of state, President Paul Biya, and First Lady, Madame Chantal Biam, have left Cameroon for China to attend, alongside other African leaders, the 9th Forum on China-Africa Cooperation, which opens on Wednesday, September the 4th, in Beijing. The government of Cameroon and other development partners are providing humanitarian assistance to over 20,000 victims of floods in the Mayo-Danai division of the far north region following heavy rains over the weekend that destroyed over 2,000 homes and landed property of inhabitants. In sports, the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon have begun training ahead of their double qualifying matches for the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations against Namibia on September 7th and Zimbabwe on September 10th, 2024. A development of these stories and more right ahead. But first, the news bulletin.
The bulletin with Winston Lebga. At the invitation of His Excellency Xi Jinping, President of the People's Republic of China, His Excellency Paul Biya, President of the Republic of Cameroon, left Yaoundé late this morning, the 2nd of September 2024, accompanied by his wife, Chantal Biya, to attend the 4th summit of the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation in Beijing. The official delegation of the head of state is composed of the following personalities: Joseph Betty Asomo, Minister Delegate of the Presidency in charge of defense; Lejeune Mbelambela, Minister of External Relations; Paul Atanganji, Minister of Territorial Administration; Samuel Vondo Ayolo, Minister Director of the Civil Cabinet of the Presidency of the Republic; Emmanuel Nganu Jumesi, Minister of Public Works; Mengot Victor Are Congo, Minister, Chargé de Mission at the Presidency of the Republic; Alamin Ousmane May, Minister of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development; Jean-Ernest Masenangale Bibey, Minister of Transport; Gabriel Bairobi, Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development; Fu Callistus Gentry, Interim Minister of Mines, Industries and Technological Development; Rear Admiral Joseph Fuda, Special Advisor to the President of the Republic; Martin Pana, Ambassador of Cameroon to China; Simon Pierre Bikeli, Chief of State Protocol; Jean-Christophe Elangema, General Manager of Cameco; Christophe Eken, President of the Chamber of Commerce, Industry, Mines and Crafts. Prior to the presidential couple's departure for Beijing, China, President Paul Biya and his wife Chantal were acclaimed by the population present in their numbers on the way to the Yaoundé International Airport, where they were bid farewell by the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Joseph Diongouté. A Cameroon IMF Joint Mission on Climate Change is meeting in Yaoundé to discuss issues that include disaster risk financing. The discussions are taking place at a time when natural catastrophes like drought and floods are affecting the populations in the northernmost parts of Cameroon. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, is to technically assist Cameroon in promoting governance and the management of resources so as to sustainably respond to emergencies provoked by the climate change phenomenon. Measures are underway to assist the population of Yagua in the Mayo-Danai division of the Far North region who were victims of floods over the weekend. Local administrative and municipal authorities are seeking to provide material and humanitarian assistance to the over 20,000 people who lost their homes and property following the floods caused by heavy rains. The Minister of Finance, considering the significant interest observed in recent days regarding the filing of tax returns, informs non-professional taxpayers, subject to the annual personal income tax declaration, that the deadline for submission has been extended to December the 1st, 2024. Additionally, the Minister of Finance commends the numerous taxpayers who have already voluntarily fulfilled this tax obligation. The Minister of Finance further emphasizes that Non-compliance with this filing obligation will result in the enforcement of penalties as stipulated in the Manual of Tax Procedures. To further assist the concerned taxpayers in meeting their filing requirements, dedicated support teams have been deployed at their respective tax offices and within the Directorate General of Taxation, along with an online assistance mechanism, including a toll-free call center, 8200, an electronic assistance platform, help desk accessible via the homepage of the Directorate General of Taxation's website, a messaging service 691-881-881 specifically for taxpayers residing abroad. The Minister of Finance also informs users, import and export operators and the general public that from September 16, duck dues or taxes and related VAT will be automatically calculated and collected via the CAMSIS, Cameroon Customs Information System. Thus, all members of the Steve Doros unions are invited to the IT division of the Directorate General of Customs in Douala no later than September the 2nd, 2024, with all the information required for the necessary configurations, bank details, authorization, attestation of taxpayers' registration, etc., etc. The Minister of Finance therefore invites all those wishing to obtain further information on this reform to contact the IT Division of the Directorate General of Customs in Bonanjo or the Directorate General of Taxation in Yaoundé. A self-contained town hall with facilities to lodge council workers has been constructed in Botmakak, a locality in the Nyong'nkele Division of the Central Region. It was built with financial support from the Special Council Fund for Mutual Assistance, FACAM, and inaugurated by the Minister of Decentralization and Local Development, George Elanga Obam. Abroad, Tunisia's Electoral Commission has approved three candidates to run in next month's presidential election, ignoring a court ruling to reinstate three others. Amongst those approved are President Kais Saied and a candidate called Ayachi Zamel, whose campaign team had earlier said he was arrested. President Saied faces accusations of trying to restrict the number of those allowed to run against him. In sports, players called up to camp for the Indomitable Lions AFCON qualifiers are to begin training on Tuesday for the encounters against the Namibia Brave Warriors at home on Saturday, September 7, and thereafter the Warriors of Zimbabwe on Tuesday, September the 10th. And that's the bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRT this afternoon edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's afternoon edition.
Connecting people.
Welcome back. The President of the Republic, Paul Biya, left the nation's capital, Yaoundé, today en route to Beijing, China, where he will join other African leaders for the China-Africa Summit, scheduled to begin next Wednesday, September 4. The head of state is accompanied by the First Lady, Madame Chantal Biya, and some members of government. Some state dignitaries, notably the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Chief Dr. Joseph Diangute, and the Minister of State Secretary General at the Presidency, Ferdinand Gongo, were at the Simalen International Airport to bid farewell to the presidential couple, Paul and Chantal Biya. Details with our Unity Palace correspondent, Amin Ken Edward.
The busy atmosphere at the presidential section of the Simalen International Airport this Monday, September 2nd, was quite revealing. The President of the Republic is on the move again, barely 1 week after he returned from France on the invitation of his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron. Some very important personalities, particularly close aides of President Paul Biya, CPDM supporters and traditional dance groups were already on hand when the President's sham motorcade drove into the airport, accompanying the head of state and the First Lady, Mrs. Chantal Biya. This time around, the President's sham couple is heading to Beijing, China, on the invitation of the Chinese President Xi Jinping for the China-Africa Summit. It will be the seventh visit that President Paul Biya is making to China since 1987. The last was in March 2018 for a three-day state visit, during which five very important cooperation agreements were signed between both countries to consolidate Sino-Cameroonian bilateral relations. At the foot of the aircraft, the traditional protocol detail was in place, made up of the Prime Minister, Head of Government, Chief Dr. John Gote Joseph, and the Minister of State, Secretary General of the Presidency, Ferdinand Ngongo, with whom Paul and Chantal Biya exchanged protocol civilities, plus last-minute instructions handed down by the President of the Republic before his departure. President Paul Biya is going for the China-African Summit in Beijing, where he will join scores of African leaders and heads of government to make a strong case for the African continent on issues of common concern, notably climate change, security, and economic-related issues, amongst other things. As a trustworthy friend of China, the President of the Republic is most likely going to use the sidelines of the summit to reinvigorate bilateral bonds between Beijing and Yaoundé, and why not strengthen the diplomatic romance, or better still, the proximity and intimacy existing between President Xi Jinping and President Paul Biya, who both share a wide range of common values for the prosperity of their respective populations.
I'm in King Edward. On the invitation of Chinese President Xi Jinping, President Paul Biya has left Cameroon to attend the 9th Forum on China-Africa Cooperation. Ahead of the start of the forum on September 4, CRTV's special envoy to Beijing, Ashu Niente, looks at the stakes of the forum and how ready Beijing is to host the delegation.
The city of Beijing is wearing its finest robes and has rolled out a red carpet and talking drums to welcome 54 African delegations to this year's Forum on China-Africa Cooperation. Beijing, the heartbeat of China, has over the years resolutely transformed into a modern city, but which still maintains its traditional attractions that modernity has not succeeded in eroding. This forum has become a must rendezvous in international geopolitics and geostrategy every 3 years. The event will run from September 4 to 6. Visible signs of the gathering are present everywhere in Beijing, right from the capital international airport. Flags of African countries float proudly along both sides of the sprawling avenues. Even in the Beijing market, the perfume of an African presence is massive. The 9th Forum on China-Africa Cooperation comes at a time when African economies are still distressed from the instability caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and an increase in African debt burden that has become worrisome. At the Cameroonian embassy, small dishes have been put into the big to ensure a remarkable and honorable participation of Cameroon. President Paul Biya, in his increasingly first status of Wise Man of Africa, is expected to be one of the star participants of the forum. It will be Paul Biya's seventh visit to China over his presidency, the last one being during an earlier forum in September 2018. Cameroon will, as always, be looking forward to making breakthroughs at the bilateral level, but the overall strategy will be to ensure that Africa plays as a bloc. This year, African countries are determined to change the narrative, not to allow the gathering to be shaped by a donor-recipient dynamic where China is in the driver's seat and African countries mostly come cap in hand. But have African countries attained that confidence and capability level? That is a question. Ashu Nyenti Vensambolo on National Assignment, Beijing, China.
First Lady Madame Chantal Biya will arrive in Beijing, China with the President of the Republic. It will be the sixth visit of Madame Chantal Biya to the People's Republic of China, a country that strongly values contributions made by the spouses or the spouse of the President to fight poverty in Cameroon and beyond. Ayimbile.
Long-standing and special is the relationship that does exist between the First Lady and the People's Republic of China, a country famous for its rich and ancient history, with a glorious and remarkable journey towards modernization, and which will be receiving for the sixth time a First Lady with an unparalleled heart. For in her role as the wife of the President of the Republic and as the founding president of the Chantal Biya Foundation, as well as her other humanitarian associations, Madame Chantal Biya has always made it a priority to help the poor, sick, and vulnerable. Uncountable actions touching and changing lives in Cameroon and beyond, which have earned the First Lady, Mrs. Chantal Biya, recognition at home and abroad, as well as admiration and support from partners and friends of Cameroon, among them the People's Republic of China. Accompanying the head of state to China, Mrs. Chantal Biya, who is thus dedicating her life to making her nation a better place, will be meeting with the wife of the Chinese president, Madame Peng Linyuan, she who shares Mrs. Biya's passion for improving the health of her people. For as recently as last year, she sent a medical team to the Children First Center, the orphanage of the Chantal Biya Foundation in Yaoundé, where they provided free medical consultations and treatment for the children. A medical team led by Dr. Gun Juan, whom the Chinese ambassador to Cameroon accompanied, bringing along cartons of medical and school supplies, but also words of appreciation topped with warm greetings which he conveyed to Mrs. Chantal Biya on behalf of Mrs. Peng. In effect, on several occasions, as he did last year in August and November, Wang Yingwu, who has on behalf of his government formalized cooperation ties with the Chantal Biya Foundation, reiterated as he donated more ICT tools, medical equipment and other supplies to the Secretary General, Dr. Habisu Bidung, China's commitment to stand by Cameroon's First Lady. In Beijing with her husband, the President of the Republic, Madame Chantal Biya will thus be renewing and strengthening ties between the People's Republic of China and the Chantal Biya Foundation that is instrumental in her tireless fight against disease and poverty. Vincent Bolo, Ayi Mbile, CRTV News, Beijing.
Away from Beijing and on to our dossier, a visiting delegation of the International Monetary Fund is in Cameroon to assist stakeholders and policymakers on the country's disaster risk financing strategy under elaboration. The IMF delegation of experts will also provide actors in disaster risk control and response, as well as those on climate-related policies, with strategies on pooling their resources to enhance policies and actions already being implemented. In the following excerpt of an interview, the head of the Climate Policy Division and Fiscal Affairs Department of the IMF, Sufachol Supachalasam, weighs in on the tools provided by the financial institution to support Cameroon's efforts in the prevention and management of natural disasters.
We are trying to help government in developing national disaster risk financing strategy, and we also trying to support the government in thinking about how they could develop a national climate plan as well. So we feel that these two pieces would be important elements for the country going forward in addressing climate challenges and challenges related to natural disasters like drought and floods in the country as well. This mission will be supporting the government from the technical aspect, so we bring in technical analysis, international experiences to share with the government of Cameroon, and hopefully we can help the government come up with some recommendations, whether in terms of policies and reforms going forward for these two subjects as well.
The town of Yagua in the Mayo Danai Division is bearing the brunt of severe flooding as the Danai River, swollen by relentless torrential rains, has been inundating the locality. The surging waters have already inflicted significant material damage on families and left parts of Yagua Market submerged, with roads and surrounding neighborhoods becoming nearly impassable. In a desperate effort to halt the advancing waters, residents are using sandbags or sandbags to create makeshift barriers. Faith Nguang tells us more from Yagua.
The town of Yagua grapples with severe flooding, leaving half of the community paralyzed. The Lomo Dole Market and part of the Central Market are submerged due to the Danai River bursting its banks. In the Danaira neighborhood, residents living near the river have been forced to evacuate. The Jibetsu, Gobeisu, and Leke neighborhoods are similarly affected, with many homes abandoned.
The roads are flooded, and we don't know where to go.
Everything we own is in water. We are trying to carry some. The residents of the Lamido of Iagua, located perilously close to the flooded market, is also under threat. The material damage is extensive. Swaibu Zurba is the subdivisional officer for Iagua.
We have mounted temporary tents with the help of volunteers from the Red Cross. So far, we have counted about 20,653 people who were surprised by the waters. Unusual, it is the River Logone that empties its banks in the River Danai. This time, it was the opposite.
Even the large villages of Vada and Tuku have not escaped the disaster. Although no human casualties have been reported, the situation remains dire. Residents have been stacking sandbags to create makeshift barriers in an effort to protect their homes. Yagua, Faith Ngwang, CRTV.
Administrative and municipal authorities in the Mayo Danai division of the Far North region have been at the fore to help those affected by the devastating floods that have inflicted untold damages on the population, with over 12,000 houses already destroyed, leaving many homeless. Our Far North regional correspondent Sylvester Temkeng reports on the measures taken by the authorities.
The most affected subdivisions of Mayo Danai are Dacheka, Gobo, Gume, Gere, Kaikai, Karfu, Kahai, Maga, Chatibali, and Wina. Warehouses and extensive farms have been destroyed. Meanwhile, some homeless families have been resettled in makeshift structures by municipal authorities as lasting solutions are being sought for. Jean-Claude Camon, mayor of Dacheka.
A good number of people are now taking refuge in schools, and our fear is a cholera outbreak. We brought some products to disinfect water, mobilizing the population to build floodgates with sandbags.
In the face of this situation, administrative officials have intensified civil protection measures to avert further danger. Jean-Lazare Ndongo, senior divisional officer for Mayo Danai.
The administrative authorities are in the field to organize the help of those persons who have to be relocated. In every subdivision, we have some seat of relocation. We need some items as town couverture to help those who are in need.
Those living in marshy zones have been advised to relocate to safer zones to staff off jeopardy in case the rains intensify, as the situation remains preoccupying. Marwa, Sylvester Temkeng, CRTV.
Back to School 2024, a special slot on the news.
The Vatican has called for all children in Cameroon to be allowed to go to school peacefully, especially in the northwest and southwest regions. The message of the Vatican for the 2024-2025 school year was delivered by the Apostolic Nuncio to Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea, Monsignor José Avelino Betancourt, who says all schools should be open and Cameroonians should reject violence and conflicts so students can study in a serene environment. Charles Ebune tells us more.
August 30 this year, the United States Ambassador to Cameroon, Christopher John Lamora, sits for an exclusive interview with CRTV. Amongst his dislikes, the prevention of children from going to school in the northwest and southwest regions. I am profoundly saddened that the children of the two regions, the northwest and southwest, have lost years without schooling since the start of the crisis in 2016-2017. There is no reason to justify the fact that children are not schooling, and we have been clear on this. The dislikes of the United States Ambassador to Cameroon are shared by the British High Commissioner to Cameroon, Barry Lowen, who sees the movement as an affront to the fundamental right of children to be educated.
Let me reiterate, I think, two things. One, the importance of education for every child.
Ever since the crisis erupted in the terrorism-hit areas of Cameroon, the diplomatic family in and out of the country has never backed the school blockade ecosystem in the country. Nadine Perrault is the representative of the United Nations Children's Fund in Cameroon.
UNICEF is all about ensuring that the rights of the child are realized and supporting government in identifying the best intervention to ensure that this is achieved.
This year, everyone is unanimous. A decade without school for children is a terrible, expensive generation cost to all.
Charles Ebune, newly integrated teachers in the basic education sector of the Northwest have been encouraged to remain resilient and committed as they embark on the 2024-2025 academic year. The call was made by officials of the Regional Delegation of Basic Education during the launch of a week-long pedagogic seminar this Monday in Bamenda, where basic education stakeholders highlighted the critical importance of the presence of teachers in school. Ola Titanki.
The recent recruitment of more than 300 teachers to serve in government, nursery and primary schools across the Northwest comes at a time when many schools, particularly public institutions, have faced targeted attacks that have disrupted the educational process. Northwest Regional Delegate for Basic Education, Ngola Jodzika Kevin, revealed that these newly recruited teachers will significantly enhance the staffing levels in an educational sector that has seen numerous educators abandon their posts.
We had close to 3,000 candidates who sat for the selection test, and 310 were declared successful for the Northwest region. In each subdivision in the Northwest, there is a school functioning. Immediately after the seminar, we expect them to take service at their various posts.
The Northwest Regional Delegate for Basic Education underscores the necessity for teachers to maintain a stable and committed workforce, asserting that their dedication is vital for sustaining educational progress.
To have development and prevent war, children need to go to school.
As these teachers gear up for the 2024-2025 academic year, basic education officials in the Northwest have expressed optimism about revitalizing the local education system and enhancing prospects for young learners in the region. Ola Titanki, CRTV News, Bamenda.
Back to School 2024, that was our special slot on the news.
The Minister of Decentralization and Local Development, George Ilanga Obama, has inaugurated the Botmakak Town Hall and facilities to lodge council workers of the municipalities in the Nyong and Kele Division of the Central Region. Minister George Ilanga Obama, who was accompanied by the Minister of Social Affairs, Pauline Irene Gene, says the facilities are fruits of the decentralization drive in the country. Ngu Henry is online from Botmakak. Hello, Henry.
Good afternoon, Maureen, and welcome to Botmakak in the Nyong and Kele Division of the Central Region, which now prides itself of a safe, contained town hall and facilities to lodge council workers. The mayor of the municipality, Jean-Pascal Kengnem, says the town hall will solve the problem of space. The both Makak town hall and lodging facility have been constructed to the tune of over 800 million CFA francs with funds from the Special Council Support Fund for Mutual Assistance, FECOM, Credit Foncier du Cameroun, and the United Councils and Cities of Cameroon. The Minister of Decentralization and Local Development, George Ilanga Obama, says the projects are fruits of the decentralization process in the country. Created in 1962, the Botmakak Council spreads across a surface area of 2,500 square meters with over 40,000 inhabitants, most of whom are into agriculture. The event is attended by the Minister of Social Affairs, Pauline Irene Gini, the Director General of FECOM, Camille Philippe Akwa, and the Credit Foncier boss, Jean-Paul Messi. Ngu Henry, reporting from Botmakak.
In sports, players and staff of the men's football team of Cameroon begin camping today ahead of their 2025 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers against Namibia on the 7th of September and Zimbabwe on September 10, 2024. Most of the players called by head coach of the Indomitable Lions, Mark Breeze, for those matches were on club duty over the weekend. Ben Collins Nuiberuwo takes us through their performances.
Among the 24 players called to come by head coach of the Indomitable Lions, Mark Breeze, six were on target in their various clubs over the weekend. Brian Bomo of Brentford in the English Premier League scored a brace in their 3-1 win over Southampton. Right back Jackson Chachua of Hellas Verona in the Italian Serie A netted one in their 2-1 away win over Genoa. Still in Italy, Zamboangisa of Napoli scored the winning goal during extra time in his club's 2-1 triumph over Parma. Over in Turkey, midfielder Olivier Ncham of Sabzonspor was on target on 75 minutes against Hatayspor. His club won by 3-0 away from home. In the French Ligue 1, Toulouse of Franck Magri were beaten 3-1 by Olympique Marseille. The Cameroonian striker scored the lone goal for his club. Martin Hongla of Grenada in the Spanish Segunda Division scored on 59 minutes, but his side was beaten at home 3-1 by Huesca. Three other defenders of the Indomitable Lions played for 90 minutes in their clubs this weekend. Christopher War of Rennes, who were beaten 2-1 by Reims in France. Noel Tolo of Seattle Sounders in the US Major Soccer League, that lost by no goal to one to Portland. And Harold Mokoji of AEK Athens, whose defense compartment remained unviolated in their 3-0 away win over Levadiaskos. Among the three shortstoppers, two conceded defeats. Andre Onana, whose team Manchester United in the English Premier League was beaten 3-0 by Liverpool, and Simon Ngapandwendbu of Nimes, who were defeated 2-0 by Valenciennes in the French 3rd Division League.
Ben Collins, Nweboruwo, to end this edition of CLTV Afternoon Edition, the recap of our main story. The head of state, President Paul Biya, and First Lady Madame Chantal Biya have left Cameroon for China to attend, alongside other African leaders, the 9th Forum on China-Africa Cooperation, which opens on Wednesday, September the 4th in Beijing. Here now is the summary of the news in the French language with Daniel Sopo.
Bon après-midi à tous. Sommet Chine-Afrique, le couple présidentiel en route pour Beijing en Chine au fond de participer au 4e sommet du forum sur la coopération sino-africaine. La capitale chinoise est d'ores et déjà à Paris pour accueillir les dirigeants du continent africain en premier rang des chefs d'État. La présence très attendue du président camerounais Paul Biya, qui entend, comme à l'accoutumée, marquer d'une empreinte singulière les travaux de ce 4e forum. Entre la République de la Chine et le Cameroun, la coopération est multiforme et touche plusieurs domaines. C'est le cas de l'humanitaire. Présidente fondatrice de la Fondation Chantal Biya, la première dame camerounaise Chantal Biya, qui accompagne son époux, qui prend part au forum économique, a toujours développé un partenariat fructueux avec l'Empire du Milieu. La Chine soutient son action humanitaire. Soutenir le financement des risques de catastrophes et le plan national pour le climat, cette préoccupation est au centre de la visite au Cameroun d'une délégation du Fonds monétaire international FMI. Elle a été reçue en audience ce matin par le secrétaire général du ministère des Finances. En sport, les carillons des qualifications de la CAN Maroc 2025 retentissent à travers le continent à l'occasion du début de la phase éliminatoire. Les Lions indomptables du Cameroun s'apprêtent à descendre dans l'arène les 7 et 10 septembre prochains contre la Namibie à domicile et le Zimbabwe à Kampala en Ouganda. Des Lions qui ont fait sensation ce week-end dans leur club. Mesdames, Messieurs, alors qu'il est 15h passé de 33 minutes, c'est la fin du 3PM. Merci de l'avoir écouté.